And we're back here once again with another episode of the Iron Man Podcast, episode 390 with Mr. Mugen Lord. What's going on, man? How are you doing?
I'm doing good, man. Glad to be here. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah,
thank
you're lucky. I know what Mugen is, actually. I know what Mugen tournaments are. My friend is very, very much into them. Yeah, so don't. If people think I only just play League, I'm like, no. I've been a game. I've been probably a gamer since I was like fucking in elementary school. Like I've been playing video games my entire life. Sometimes at the point where I would sacrifice my own food money just to have a new fucking video game. You know, so like. I don't know what is with these kids nowadays when I'm talking about all this gaming shit being like non-inclusive and all that fucking gay shit. I'll tell you this right now. You start talking that gay shit to people in real life, they're about to be like, huh? I'm cool. I'm just gonna keep playing. No one, like, people don't even think about that stuff. I don't go into like a ring of people and be like, oh man, accept me. I'm the black gamer here. It's like, I don't do that because that's fucking cringe. I'm pretty sure no one does that at all. It's just what they say on Twitter that they do, but in real life, they don't actually do that stuff.
No, they don't.
Man. Well, nice to meet you, man. And we're gonna start here. How was your life growing up, actually?
Oh, how was my life was pretty good. I grew up with both my mom and dad, and my dad was a huge gamer. The first game I ever played was because of my dad. Like I followed after him, and the first game I ever played was Legend of Zelda on the NES. And I remember my mom and dad was telling me that, yeah, like the moment you came out the womb and we brought you home and your dad booted up Legend of Zelda, you recognized it. Your eyes followed where the sound was coming from. The Legend is, you know, the coming from the NES and the television screen, the Legend of Zelda theme song. I recognized it as a newborn. And ever since then, I had like an attachment to Legend of Zelda and been playing. I played the first Legend of Zelda on the NES at 4 years old. But my very first console that my parents had bought me that was mine personally was the Sega Genesis. I was a Sega kid, and Sonic. I was such a big Sonic fan in everything. And eventually, yeah, of course, I got every other console after that. My parents just bought me a bunch of consoles, even down to my siblings, even my sister. She's a big gamer. So I've been playing games my whole entire life. And my dream was growing up that I wanted to be a game developer myself or whatever. So I ended up going to college, and I didn't know where to begin as far as wanting to be like getting to gaming and stuff. So I ended up being like a business major and everything. Then I switched my major to computer science because they had like a video game type of program going on at Mansfield University or whatever. And once I got into the programming, learning C++ and all that type of stuff, I was like, you know what? This is I don't like programming. They're like, there's a lot of math courses I take. I hate math and stuff. And I found out, like, you know, I'm more like a person like to write stories and everything. And I said, maybe I can be like a game director or something. But my journey or whatever just went a whole nother path. I ended up meeting my girlfriend. And at the time, MySpace was a thing. And I end up dropping out of college for a little bit. And then I end up becoming a dad. And then things didn't work out between me or her. And then I end up taking custody of my daughter. And everything that my parents was like, go back to school. So I went back to college and went back and switched my major back to a business administration or whatever. And then I ended up graduating in 2014. And it's funny how that was the year that Gamergate happened. So the moment I graduated out from 2014, man, it was like I was in a bubble in college, you know, like didn't know any of this stuff that was going on with this whole culture war thing that was rallying up at that time. I'm too busy in my studies, hanging out with my friends. But once I came out from graduation, came home, and the internet just changed. Facebook just changed. You know, I'm getting online, and now people arguing back and forth. Now people being called bigots for having this opinion and called a Nazi for having this opinion and stuff. And then I look in the gaming space, everything is going crazy. Then Aneel Sarkeesian pops up. It was just nuts from 2014 on forward and everything. And then gaming just started going down this downward spiral, and then gaming today just gotten to the point where I'm like, you know what, let me just go invest back into my hobbies that I used to do. And my hobbies like the story write and everything. So I end up starting a comic book company of my own called Venus Orion Comics and everything. And I started 3 years ago. I started the company, got an LLC and everything 3 years ago. And I was like, you know what? Let me try something. Let me take my ideas and stuff and put it out there. So I end up meeting this Chinese girl. She's an artist. I met her on Fiverr, and she's from the Philippines. And then me and her been working together. She draws my characters, which you see right here, these posters. This is all my characters to my shared universe.
Yeah, you're not the first person to say that. Actually, I've had people on that have been comic book creators that say that you can find great quality work from people in Brazil, Philippines, Indonesia, actually. But the reason why they're not ever getting work is not because they're not good. People don't look there because they assume they're just cheap and not good, actually. When in reality, it's the opposite. It's cheap and good quality. But people assume, oh, you have to hire here because it's like some prestige quality artist you're getting here. It's like,
Jessica, man, she's fucking phenomenal. We've been working together for 3 years, and she's drawn all the stuff over here. And I got a bunch of other things. I put like over 20K of my own money during the course of the 3 years to create my universe Bible of all the lore, all the different characters, all these characters. Even though they're different comic book series, they're all still in the same universe and everything like that. So my first comic is going to drop. I do the campaign this September or whatever like that. So right now she's now we've gotten to the stage where she's actually drawing up my comic and stuff. The comic book will be done. Actually, like, was April? Yeah, next month the comic book will be done and everything. So then I'll be spending the whole summer getting the presentation ready for the campaign in September. And then at the campaign, you start doing fulfillments and stuff like that. So, yeah, man, all because of this current state with Hollywood gaming and what the culture has done and stuff. It's like, you know what? Like, I don't even feel like indulging in this nonsense. Let me just go back to just investing in myself. Let me just take a bet on myself, you know? And that's what I've just been doing ever since. I'm also a 3D hentai animator. I have my own community, a 3D hentai community. I have a big following over there and stuff. So I've been doing everything.
What made you do YouTube?
Huh?
What made you want to do YouTube, actually?
Oh, what made me want to do YouTube? I started YouTube back in 2006 or 7.
You started when it first happened. Oh,
yeah, bro. I'm old school, man. The thing that really gets me, I'm starting to see a lot of these YouTubers retiring. And most of the YouTubers that's retiring now came up when we all started at the same time. Yeah. And I remember a long time ago, I was a big deal. If I would have stayed on my path, I'd probably be like retiring too, you know, because a long time ago when I started the whole Mugen thing, actually the meta for YouTube a long time ago, back in 2006, 2007, was like comedy sketches.
Yeah.
And a long time ago on YouTube, you could only upload to like 3 to 5 minute videos, I think, at the time. And you needed to get 100 subscribers and you had to get the director status. Once you got the director status, then you was able to upload up to 10 minutes of video and stuff. So it was hard getting to 100 subscribers and everything, but the comedy sketches was the biggest. That was the meta at the time. So I had my first channel and I was doing like little comedy sketches. It wasn't really doing too well, but what happened was my friend from college, he introduced me. I want to say he introduced me. I knew Mugen exists because I remember playing Mugen back in fifth grade because my cousin had a PC and was playing Mugen, but I didn't have a PC of my own, so I didn't really care too much because I didn't have a PC. But once I got to college, my friend, he said, "You heard of Mugen?" I'm like, "Yeah, I heard of Mugen," but he put his thumb drive in my computer, upload some characters and stuff, started playing it. He showed me how to do all that stuff, and then I was like, you know, I like creating the stories. So I would take like Street Fighter, Guilty Gear characters, anime characters, and make my own little storylines and everything. And before you knew it, I would put like a Mugen video up on my comedy channel. And the Mugen video, like within 2 hours, I would get like 5K views. I'm like, what the hell? But my comedy would get like 30 views or whatever like that. So it's kind of like discouraging. I'm like, man, it's not me. It's Mugen. It's not me, myself, that's getting the views. It's the Mugen that's getting the views. So at the time, my girlfriend, before she became my baby mom, she was like, why don't you just separate your content onto another channel? So I was like, all right, I'll do that. So I made a Mugen channel. So I was trying to think of a name. So I had to have Mugen in it so people knew it was Mugen or whatever. And I was just stuck for a second. And she's like, just call yourself Mugen Lord. So I ain't think nothing. I'm like, all right, Mugen Lord. And then I did that. And before you know it, like all my videos, every time I dropped the video, 2K views, 5K views. It was just crazy. But that's when I got into some drama with a Mugen forum called Mugen Infantry. And this is where you get all your Mugen resources from, like characters, screen packs, and stuff. So there's this forbidden, there's this, like, I guess you say, unspoken rule in the Mugen community is that you have to get permission from the character creators, the author who created the character. You have to get permission to have to use their character and post a video online. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, no, I'm making videos of matches, of dream matches of characters fighting and stuff. So Mugen Infantry used to police people's Mugen channels to see if you got permission from the author of that character. I'm like, what? Like, who the fuck are you guys? And these are moderators and everything. So one day I had posted up a Mugen match of Mega Man EXE, which was the Mega Man Battle Network Mega Man, fighting Cosmos from Xenosaga. I had put that up. So somebody from one of the moderators from Mugen Infantry came onto my page and asked me if I got permission to use those characters. And I was like, no. So what happened was they mass flagged my channel of the video itself, and because I had a link to the zip drive for you to download, for you to actually download the characters or whatever like that. They flagged it for child pornography, saying that I was distributing child pornography. So they took my channel, YouTube took my channel down. So I had to go through a whole dispute with YouTube. Like, what are you talking about? I said, that link is not child pornography or whatever like that. I said, this forum is attacking me. They're literally attacking me. They're sending their goons after me and everything. So that's when I did a face reveal for the first time. And I did a video, you know, talking about the situation. And I was calling Mugen Infantry out. And then what Mugen Infantry did was, they took that video. These, like, any type of publicity is good publicity. These dumbasses took my video and put it on their forum. When they put it on the forum, trying to tease me and clown me, there was people in the forum that actually agree with the points that I was saying. Because there's a lot of people that was afraid of Mugen Infantry and their law, their rules and stuff. And I was the only one that was speaking against them. So everybody started flooding my channel. I went from 300 subscribers to 4,000 subscribers, like, within a week. Within a week, I couldn't believe it. And, like, I kept climbing. I kept climbing and everything.
Yeah.
And then my dad got involved and was like, how about you do a TV show? And I was like, all right, what idea do you have, Pops? He said, look, and this is during the time green screen technology was starting to be a thing on YouTube. So my dad said, let's try green screen. So I started Mugen TV, where what I do is I do Mugen project reviews. I talk about the latest characters, show off the latest characters and stuff. I read comments from my fans. And while in the back, the green screen would show, like, footage and stuff like that of other projects. So I was getting, like, really good hits off those episodes. But that's when I really started getting deep involved with my girlfriend. And it got sidetracked. And then I didn't realize how serious it was, like, how such a big deal I was. And then I just walked away for a little bit, you know, being distracted by her. And then I was gone for 2 years and I came back. I had to pretty much start over again. Like, most of my subscriber base was dead. Like,
yeah.
I had all those subscribers, but the views wasn't lining up. And then people started accusing me of botting, but I wasn't. It was just that my subscribers were dead. Like, I was gone for 2 years. I was gone. Yeah. So I had to start all over again. But by that time, the whole YouTube landscape had changed, man.
Yeah. I noticed that. I've had the same thing too. My original main channel was at, like, almost 4,000 subs, was taken down. Mm-hmm. And I was doing YouTube since 2015. And and I was still in that old style of YouTube. Because I've been around since YouTube ever began. I remember back then, when you exited a video, that video don't sit there and play. That shit gone. Like, I've been through all of YouTube's algorithms and changes. Like, I remember when I would have breaks, like, they would give me, like, a channel strike for a week. Come back, the views would be throttled because you've been not uploading for a week, actually. And, you know, I like the audience that I have, but people understand with your audience, if you're not there somewhat consistently, they're not going to keep you in their mind as a person that they want to watch. That's how people function. It's a hard reality a lot of people got to understand. So if you're gone for, like, 1 week, 2 weeks, that could be enough to just screw you over, you know? And now, in this new YouTube system, because I created a second channel just for League of Legends content, which it's obviously now that's the main channel that I'm rebranding, that, like I told you earlier.
Yeah.
A whole new different system for YouTube now. I'm still trying to figure out myself, and I've been doing this for, goddamn, going on like almost 9 years at this point.
Oh, wow. You know?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, man. Like, so with the whole YouTube thing, So yeah, after I graduated and I came back and landscape had changed, I was like, man, what the hell is going on? That's when I'm starting to find out about this whole thing about the algorithm, because people kept saying algorithm. Like, what the hell is that? What is that? So I'm simply trying to figure it out. And it was stressful and it was discouraging because I would sit there. And it was some videos where I put my blood, sweat, and tears, have a script. I mean, I'm editing, I'm putting the best editing in it, and then I'm only getting like 100 views or whatever like that. I'm like, what the hell is going on? Like, and that's when I started realizing that this whole thing was, they're looking at retention, you know, viewer retention, how long they a viewer's watching your video and everything. They were saying that they got, if they watch at least half your video, they don't watch the whole thing, but if they can at least watch half of it or whatever, that will also help you out in the algorithm. Then I started looking at my analytics. I mean, like, people will only watch like the first 2 minutes and then they just drop off and shit. I'm like, damn. I said, what the hell is going on? So it was frustrating at first. And then once the streaming came out on YouTube or whatever, I started doing the streaming for a bit. But during the streaming aspect of it, I started getting into my real talk where I talk about some deep stuff, you know, and stuff I'm going through with my life. Then I started talking about this, you know, when politics, especially when the whole Trump election was coming up, Trump versus Hillary and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the constant shift in gaming and everything. And I started noticing that, yo, am I shadow banned? Because I would have these streams and stuff. Then I noticed people were saying like, yo, like Mugen Lord, like they YouTube unsubscribe me to your channel. So I, like, 1 minute I was subscribed and then the next minute I go back, it's telling me I have to resubscribe again and stuff. Mugen Lord, when did you do this video? I haven't even gotten no notification or whatever that you uploaded this, and it's like a week old. I never got a notification for this, you know. So a lot of people started sending me all these messages, saying he wasn't getting my stuff. I'm like, yo, YouTube, are you trying to screw me? What is going on here? So I started getting a little nervous because I was like, maybe I should watch what I say, you know, on these streams and stuff like that. And that's when my streaming started to slow down. I started going back to doing the videos again, but it was just depressing. Like, it was just stressed. I was just stressed out. I'm like, no one is getting my videos. No one is getting them. But like I said before, once I turned around and just did that one video, things just turned around ever since. And now the algorithm, people want to see culture war stuff. But I'm at this point where I'm stubborn. I was like, no, my channel is not going to be a culture war channel. Like, I will post one culture war video a week, but I'm not going to sit there and shift my whole channel to that because everybody likes to see it. And that means I have to.
Yeah.
No, I'm still a gaming channel. I love to talk about games and everything. So I just try to balance it out. Culture war video, then the rest is gaming stuff. And plus, since my culture war videos get a lot of views, it makes up for the little bit of views that I may get from the video game videos or whatever. But I noticed as I started climbing in subscribers, it's a cross. I'm starting to get a cross between culture war viewers and my gaming content. So now it's starting to trickle down. And so even my gaming content is starting to get like starting to pull like 2K, 3K views and stuff like that. So I was like, no, I like the strategy. I'm gonna stick to this plan because I refuse to make another channel. I refuse to do that. I don't want to do it.
That's the thing, is when you do a few videos and those are the ones that really start popping off because you were really passionate about doing them. It's not that I told people I'm not passionate about doing those videos. It's just that I never thought that would be the main focus that people would want to hear from me. You know, because the culture war videos that you were talking about, the ones that I did, they did actually fairly well. And for my channel size, this new one that I have, the main one, it's like about 200, 100-ish. I'm like, those ones have like 200 views, I'm like, 7 likes, 8 likes, I'm like, other videos get like buttfuck else, and I'm like, you ever talk about this? This much? I guess. I mean, look at them. I enjoy talking about this stuff. I really do like talking about movie news, but the problem here is like, I never thought in a million years I would come on YouTube and just basically be CNN.
That's the thing, man. Like I said before, I didn't want to be caught into that, because then I started getting a lot of people coming in and say, oh, I'm grifting. You know, like, you know, you like, now you're trying to do it, everybody. I was like, no, like, I've always been talking about this on my streams. I learned that your streaming audience is different from your video content audience. Cause a lot of people that watch your YouTube content, like your regular videos, a lot of them don't tune into your streams. So I have two different type of communities. You got your streaming, and sometimes there is some crossover, but it's not a lot. So I said, you think that I did that I'm grifting or I'm decided to shift over, but no, like, this stuff was common on my streaming. I just decided to just turn them into videos now and make them to video content and stuff. So nothing changed. I just made it into videos and stuff. But I refuse. I refuse to make another. I can't do too many channels. Like, I got too much stuff going on. Mm-hmm. Trying to run a comic, trying to get my comic book and company and stuff like that. And then on top of that, I'm a, I got a big 3D hentai animation community on one side, and then I got this going on. I said, no, I can't handle another channel. Like, so I'm going to fight with this. I'm trying to have both the type of content on one channel and stuff. And eventually people's going to bleed over, you know? So I want to be that YouTuber to where I want people to like me. So no matter what content I make, people's going to watch it because it's me.
The only issue with that is that you have to get big enough to a point where your subscriber base is enough of a viewer base that'll give you views on anything.
Yeah,
you can't necessarily do that when you're smaller because you don't have that built-in value to the viewer.
Exactly. Actually. So that's what's going on right now. Like, I now my regular gaming stuff, because I'm climbing a little bit, and now it's trickling over to my other stuff. And now that stuff is actually getting views and stuff. So, yeah, you have to just keep working at it as you keep climbing. And as you get that base, then at that point, no matter what you do, you got a nice, healthy size. No matter what you do, people's going to tune into it. So I'm trying to get it to that point, because I refuse to just box myself in. Because I don't do Mugen anymore. I pretty much retired from it and stuff. Because, you know, as a YouTuber, like, I don't like to put myself in a box, you know? Right. I don't like to be known for one thing. Because after a while, you get bored of or you get burnt out, you know? And I knew it was going to be a point to where, like, this Mugen stuff is not going to last forever. So it's time for me to make a pivot, time for me, like, to make a shift in my content. And I know I'm going to probably lose some people along the way, but it's much worth it if I just broaden things up a bit and just expand to just covering gaming in general. And then, I mean, I could be able to cover things that I like. I have a much wider umbrella than sticking to Mugen and everything. And it worked out. And I understand how people can get stressed out and get that burnout and stuff, especially with the algorithm, because a lot of people end up becoming a slave to the algorithm. And a lot of people, I guess, resonate with my content too, because people always say, like, yo, Mugen Lord, you just don't give a fuck. You just say what's in your mind. Because I say, yeah, because... I don't, like, YouTube doesn't pay the bills for me. I get a small check. Like every month I get a small check.
People don't understand. Yeah. People don't understand this. There's people out there that make videos saying what certain content creators make at certain sizes. Guys, those videos are lies. Inherently from concept alone, you do not know what someone makes on their channel despite their actual subscriber size. You don't. That's subscribers also themselves do not equal viewers that are going to constantly view your stuff. That's just how it works.
Yeah, because because once you get to a certain amount of channel views, you get into the YouTube partnership, which I've been in the YouTube partnership for years. Yeah. And you get $1. You only get $1 per 1,000 views. So if you look at my channel, I'm not really making anything really. Like, you know, I get a nice little check down. I'm like, okay, it's nice. I'll just throw it away in my bank account.
It's just like bill money. I tell people, when you get to that point, you could probably pay some extra bills with it, but it's not like life-changing money. You would have to literally get to like 40K, 50K sub range and start growing from that to talk about anything of like a valuable job. And they've also changed it to the point where, you know, it's viewer retention now. So if your viewer retention is in like a minute, okay, you ain't making shit.
If
someone only watch your video for a minute,
where most of your money come from is from the advertisers outside of YouTube, because like the moment I hit 16K, now companies been hitting me up like crazy. This one Chinese company, they sent me a controller, a third-party controller that works for the PC, PlayStation, and all this other type of stuff. It's the QRD controller, and this is like my first like promotion that I've done or whatever. And ever since I've done that, more and more, then Capcom gave me like a free copy of the Capcom Fighting Collection. They gave me a copy of that. Then Square Enix gave me Harvest Stella for free and everything. Like, I just started getting a bunch of different like promotions. Was it the HuYoverse? They gave me access to Zenless Zone Zero, the closed beta and everything. So as you start getting to that mark, you want to start getting like offers and deals and stuff. That's where the money start coming in. First, the first level is just people want you to just, hey, we'll give you the product, you promote it. But as you start climbing, then they say, hey, we want to pay you to do this and promote that. So you start climbing up. So that's where the money come in. It's not the YouTube. It's those promotions. That's what give you the money. And when it comes to the promotions for me, I don't take any promotions that I know I won't even fucking use. I'm not going to sell. I'm not going to promote any product that I know myself will not use. I'm not going to sell my.
So you're not going to be a raid Shadow Legends, bro.
Yeah. and the thing is, like, because what company? I can't. It was an NDA, but one company came to me wanting me to promote one of their mobile games, and I'm like, I'm not going to play this shit, and I'm not going to sit here and lie. Live to my audience just for some money and stuff like that. Like, my integrity comes first. Like, because like, people, as long as you got integrity, people will always stick around no matter what happened. Even if you go through your period where you fall and stumble a bit, if you have that integrity, people's going to help lift you up and stuff. I can't see myself selling out like that, so I always make sure it's like, nah, this is not going to work for me. So I'll turn it down or whatever. But if it's a game or a product that I like, hell yeah. It's this other company that, what's it called? Mata Sleep. They have like a face mask. And being a content creator, like, man, my sleep is fucked up. My sleep schedule is fucked up really, really bad or whatever like that. Especially being a full-time single father, raising a daughter and then trying to content create, run a company and stuff. So my sleep is so messed up. So when they came to me and said, hey, you know, we like to send you a face mask and stuff. And he said, look, pick whatever mask you want. I said, yeah, I damn sure would do this. I like, sleep is something I need. I can see myself using it, and I use it every night. So that's how, like, I come up with this formula or whatever of how I take on, like, these deals and these promotional deals and stuff. But, yeah, as you climb subscribers, that's when they start knocking on your door, man. Start knocking on your door. But the thing is, I want to do more collabs, like, with other YouTubers and stuff. I'm having a hard time with it because, you know, there's still some YouTubers out there that just ignore me, don't even answer any of my messages and stuff.
Oh, you're going to get that. I've been climbing for many years. It's not the person hasn't seen. Some people generally, given how certain settings are for them on their devices, just don't see it. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, if you've seen that they've read it and they've not responded in probably, like, I don't know, a couple weeks. Yeah. I usually put a couple weeks because you never know, some bullshit might be happening. You just never know. Then that person just don't want to talk to you. That's just how it is. You know?
Yeah.
God, so man. It's fucking depressing when you're like, man, I like this guy's content, but I try to talk to him, he just ignore my ass. Like, fucking fuck, man. What about you?
Yeah. That's why, like, me, like, I don't care how many subscribers a person have. I'll be on a person's talk show and talk. Mm. It doesn't matter. And I always tell people, like, you better grab me now, because I'm confident. I know I'm going to blow up. Y'all better grab me down before I blow up, because when I do blow up, I y'all never decide to come to me. You never want to communicate with me. But if you grab me, the door is always open for everybody who wanted to actually sit down with me. So no matter how big I get, y'all guys will always have access to me. Mm-hmm. That's just how it is. And then I will always bring y'all on my platform, no matter how big I get, because y'all gave me a chance. Y'all wanted to talk with me and stuff like that and do some projects or whatever like that. So the door is always open for y'all, you know? But anybody else, hell with y'all. hell with y'all, man.
That's how I've always been, too. It's like, I told myself, if I ever got giant enough and all these people that said I was trash or thought I was boring or whatever, that's the biggest thing that I've always had to deal with criticism, is people just thought I was boring. And I was like, you know what? There's some merit to that. Maybe there have been videos where I look like I kind of phoned it in, but there's not every video requires the same level of passion. Like, some things require you to layer out certain information in a concise way that people can understand it, though. Because, like, I think people just want people just mindlessly ranting at the screen. Like, I'm just not gonna do that, though.
Yeah,
like, I like to be calm and collected. I like to layer out things that actually happen in event wise so you could understand it. Me just screaming at the screen, I don't even like that content myself. I wouldn't watch that if I did that, you know.
Yeah. I think like when it comes to like making videos, man, especially like to try to get people to watch your content, man, it has to be something that people really, really vibe with and resonate with, that it just grabs that person. or whatever like that. I think the thing that works for me is like every time I do content, I'm like most of my videos, I'm always providing receipts. Like, and I drill the message. Like, I always have a message and I drill it in. I constantly drill it in. And I always have receipts for something that I'm saying. So it don't just sound like I'm just spilling shit out of my mouth. People are like, oh, damn, like, he not lying. Like, he's actually showing it to me. Like as he's saying it, he's showing what he's saying through all of these evidence or with these receipts and said, man, like, this guy is, like, really hitting it off. So that's how I sort of realizing the formula to it. And also, too, thumbnails and your title of your video work hand in hand. Those are the things that really get you the views is the thumbnail and the title. Now, the thing is, your thumbnail don't even have to be fancy. You have to, it's like, if you're not going to have a fancy thumbnail, your title has to be hitting. If you have a fancy thumbnail, then your title don't really have to be as aggressive because your title says it all and stuff. So you can just mix it up and everything. So had your thumbnail say one thing and then have your title compliment it. Because my mistake was I used to try to pile, like, I'm like trying to pile so many words on the thumbnail and then it looks cluttered and stuff. Then I realized, like, okay, my thumbnail should say this and then my title should add on to what my thumbnail is saying. So people get the full picture and stuff. So mastering thumbnails definitely helps. And just having a video that just clicks with everybody, that's what happens. And then a lot of people say, man, Mugen Lore, you're just so passionate when you talk about something. I said, yeah, only when it's topics that I'm really passionate about, I really get involved, I really get invested in it. And people like, man, like, I've never seen anybody talk like that or explain this certain issue compared to everybody else that I've seen this same topic about. It's how you deliver it. So it's about delivery, your thumbnails, and everything. And people will sit down and just listen to you, and then it would just resonate, and then people start sharing it. And Twitter's a good tool. Always, and my advice is too, sometimes take a clip, like a highlight from your YouTube video, put it on your Twitter or whatever, and then put the link to the video itself in the reply tweet.
That's what you're saying.
And put it out there.
You're basically talking about converting your Twitter followers into subscribers.
Exactly.
That's the only issue is like conversions are really hard.
They're very hard, bro. And I remember when I first started streaming and I didn't want to stream on YouTube. I wanted to stream on Twitch. It was fucking hard trying to convert all my YouTubers to go over to damn Twitch. People was refusing to go over to Twitch. So I was like, you know what? Just stay the hell over here on YouTube and just stream from YouTube. I multi-stream, so I stream on Twitch, YouTube, and Kick. So I'm on all three platforms at once when I stream and everything. But man, trying to get people to convert, because I also I'm on Rumble, I'm on BitChute, I'm on Odyssey.
I did an account for BitChute too. I was just gonna throw up the podcast on there, like the two podcasts that I have. Do you see any value in BitChute actually?
Bro, I just made an account. I upload and bro, like, let me see. I made the account 5 years ago. I haven't been there in 5 years. I haven't been there in five years. I got an Odyssey account. Yeah. I haven't been to my Odyssey account in like 6 years. And I haven't been on I made a Rumble account during the 2020 elections. I made a Rumble account or whatever, but I haven't been to my Rumble since 2020 or whatever like that. I just have it there just in case something stupid happens to my YouTube channel. I can just tell people, say, hey, you just go to those platforms in case of emergency, or you can't find my content or can't find me. But I haven't updated it. I need to update it, but it's good to still have them, just to still have them. You know, you never want to put all your eggs in one basket. You want to diversify, and you know, you want to spread yourself everywhere. Try to be on as many platforms as possible, because if one falls through, you will always have other platforms and stuff. So my YouTube, my other platforms is like an archive. You just keep everything there just in case something happened with YouTube. You can just go over to those other platforms. But yeah, man, I haven't been to BitChute in like 5 years.
God, because I was thinking, like, people have been posting to, like, bitching and stuff like that. I was like, well, you know what? It's already content that you've already made. You might as well throw it up there. If you pop off, you pop off. If you don't, you don't. It's not like you have to go out of your way to just make new content for a new platform with stuff you've already been making. You know? I think the biggest problem with platforms, I think, is Twitch. Twitch is probably the hardest platform to grow on. YouTube, I can get people on YouTube. I can get people on X, but Twitch is the hardest one for sure.
It is. I got 360 followers on Twitch or whatever, because I know I got the affiliation stat status. I know I got that, but to get people, like, to get an audience to watch me there is fucking hard. It's just hard. Like, because no one from my YouTube wants to go there. Like that's why I say, you know what, hell would I just multi-stream? Because I remember, like, I used to say, hey, guys, I used to put, like, a little video saying, yo, I'm streaming today at this time on Twitch. And, like, no one would show up. No one would show up with, like, that. I'll probably, like, two or three people or whatever. And I was like, you know what, let me just go back to YouTube. And that's where my audience at. I get so many people. Like my highest... like viewers that watch me, I think the highest was like 60 to 80 people or whatever like that. That's a big number, you know, for streaming, because getting people to watch you stream, that's a challenge. So getting 80 people, that was like a record for me. Like 80 people watching me, that was a big deal for me. And I was getting a couple of super chats and stuff like that. I said, man, it's hard.
Like, even just, people don't understand, when it comes to, like, streaming, just with you doing podcasts or IRL, anything, it's a long form of content that the viewer has to invest into. A lot of people just kind of, the reason why YouTube is big is because there's no real big investment. You watch a video, and if you like that person, you just subscribe to them. That's right. And you get it in a short form of amount of content where you can just consume what someone's saying. Streaming is like, it's live, it has to be the right time and place. That person may not want to actually even invest into that. There's a lot more of a personal relationship when it comes to that, because it's not just you consume someone's video, you go to the next one.
I learned with streaming too. Streaming is about consistency. People would need to know that you're always going to be there at this set day and set time. That's why you got to set a schedule for yourself. So people know that, okay, at this time, I can invest in this person because I know on this day and time, this person's always going to be there or whatever. Because, like, this one culture war YouTuber named Salty Cracker, he streams on Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday. I watch this dude faithfully. While I'm editing videos, his stream is on. Like, I know he's going to be there. So when you start streaming, you have to be consistent. So people know, like, oh damn, this person, he's going to be on at this time every time on these days. So more people say, like, okay, I can invest in this because I can count on this person, count on him to be there. So now that's why last week I just started my podcast, Mugen TV podcast. Episode one was yesterday. I do episode two tomorrow because I got kind of sick yesterday, so I couldn't do it yesterday. But I'm trying to get into this pattern to stream Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So people know that, okay, Mugen Lord is going to be on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. That's how you start getting that audience, because people start counting on it. Start knowing, like, okay, he's going to be on at this time every time. He may be late by an hour, but I know he's going to be on on this day or whatever. So you have to get that in, and people will start getting used to it, and people start tuning in. That's how you start gaining an audience for your streaming and stuff. But the moment you start to fall off, then people start falling off, you know. So you have to be consistent with it. That's what I learned.
I wanted to ask you about the situation in the gaming industry. Good old Speed Baby Inc. and DEIs.
Okay, man.
Yeah, I'm asking this. This might get you in trouble, but I like it because you said you always speak your mind. I've been asking you, man, throughout my entire life, the least amount of people that I've seen game were actually black females. I think in my entire life, when I was actually thinking about it, I probably only met like two female gamers, and they're actually my friend's sisters because he was gaming a lot, so they did it and they liked because he was doing it. I've never met that many black female gamers. I think that legitimately is a minority in the actual gaming space.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, like the only black female that I know that really play games is my sister, and my daughter's godmother, God rest her soul, she passed away, stayed the Anastasia. They were the only two that I know that were hardcore gamers. I didn't really know any like black female gamers. Outside of them. And we're also proving that it's not a lot of them. I go to locals. I go to fighting game community events.
Yeah.
And I live in Philly. So when I go to locals, I don't even see, I hardly, I'm not saying they don't exist, but I hardly see black chicks.
They exist like my dad. Events. That's the thing.
Yeah. I hardly see black chicks at any of these FGC events, even in my local area. And if I do see females, it's mostly an Asian chick. I would see more Asian chicks and some white girls, but I hardly see black girls in these spaces.
Because that's what I told people, man. Black girls don't like video games. I told people, black girls ain't into gaming like that.
Why do we gotta
cap to ourselves that they like video games? Black girls will be the first ones to mock you, treat you like shit for like video games.
I just did a stream about that shit. I did a stream while I was doing my tier list. I said, yo, I went through school as a, like, I keep telling people, I said, yes. I said, right now, in this generation, it's acceptable as a black young man to watch Dragon Ball Z. But I grew up, growing up in the 90s and early 2000s, being a black guy that liked Dragon Ball Z and Star Wars was not fucking cool growing up. Black girls and hood dudes will fucking clown the shit out of you for liking those things, especially black chicks. And I explained that when I was in high school and we had our substitute teacher and he came in with the TV and whatever I did in the VHS. And I remember he came up and he went in his bag and he pulled out two movies. And the two movies was Friday and it was Star Wars Episode One. Now I'm sitting there. The moment he pulled out Star Wars Episode One, I already see the black chicks. They looking, laughing, pointing at me, saying, yo, he gonna pick Star Wars. He gonna pick Star Wars. Clowning me. And all the hood guys just laughing at me and shit like that. So we had to do a vote. I was the only one. I raised my hand. I wanted to see Star Wars. And everybody started just fucking clowning me and shit like that. And then everybody picked Friday. So we had to watch Friday.
Of course.
And I like Friday. Yeah. I like Friday.
I like Friday.
But I want to, if I had to pick and choose between Star Wars and Friday, I'm picking Star Wars Episode One. Give me that shit. You know what I'm saying? But my whole life, you know, I was picked on, you know, for liking those things, the nerdy stuff, you know, being, I guess you say, a blurred, which is a black nerd or whatever like that at that time. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? You was teased for that. So even when it came to video games, black chicks wasn't fucking with that shit. You know what I'm saying? So that's why this whole black girl gamer thing and all this other type of stuff, man. Like, you're like, come on, man. Get out of here with that noise.
Like, I hate when people be doing and saying shit like that and making groups like that's all this dumb shit. We're supposed to, in our lives, dude, pretend that we have to online accept this is the thing when we know in our real life this has never been a thing. I mean, locals I've been to, fighting game tournaments I've been to. I've been to EVO 2 times, actually. Mm-hmm. There's not a lot. EVO is one of the biggest fighting tournaments on this planet. Like, people literally travel there to go play. You barely see black girls there. I maybe have seen one. Guys, I'm being honest here. There's legitimately a mega minority of black girls in video games in general. I'm just being honest here. And just because you guys be like, oh, that's kind of sexist to point out. Who gives a fuck? Like, pointing out that it's just a thing.
It's the obvious. It's the fucking obvious.
Black girls don't care about video games. Let's keep it real.
And the thing,
like, they make fun of you for that shit. Like you said before, black girls made fun of me consistently for liking video games and all that shit.
And they pretend when you pull that up and stuff like that, they try to pretend that wasn't the thing. Like I said, I got clowned for that shit. Like, no black girl wanted to fuck with me for liking video games and watching anime. They just thought it was weirdo shit. They all thought it was weirdo shit. So I grew up in that era. I know for a fact I was there. I experienced it and stuff. And like I said before, we're not saying that there's no black girls that play video games, but what we're saying is not a lot of them. And the thing that when I seen the whole thing with the black gamer girl thing, where they were saying that, you know, they weren't, you know, accepted or they weren't invited to the space, I'm like, where? Who? I said, that's a fucking lie. I said, every community in the gaming community is very, very accepting. Most people became friends because they had a common interest in whatever game it was. I was never kicked out or never accepted within any gaming space because of the color of my skin. Never seen that shit before. Never heard of it. I like, who it's are
made
these
up, people? Dude. I promise you, it's made up. It's legitimately made up. Is, or, like,
of course,
or yeah. Or it's an anecdotal scenario where a person will be like, oh, this one guy told me when I was younger that I couldn't do it. And it's like, how does that apply to every gamer in existence then?
Yeah, exactly.
If I listened to one guy telling me some shit my whole life, I'd be nothing. I would literally be fucking, I'd be homeless doing fuck all at this point.
Yeah, those are called encounters. You may have an encounter. You got some every community has toxic people. But just because you had that encounter, that's not the whole fucking community. Like, that's not like and the reason why gaming is the way it is and how and with the whole culture war thing is because the gaming community was too accepting. We allowed anybody and everybody in here. And now look at what happened to gaming. You got so many tourists that's just coming in, so many activists. You got so many people coming in here just fucking it up. Just fucking it up because we allowed these people. We were so accepting of everybody. You know, because we wanted everybody, because like I said, a lot of us got teased for playing video games. So when people come in and got interest in it, we want to show off our hobby. Hey, come on in, come check it out and stuff. And we let these fucking people in here and look what they've done. They turned this shit upside down.
Mm-hmm. The other thing I'll bring up is the thing you brought up earlier with gaming. You know how as Heels vs. Babyface
brought the
gaming pronoun? And one of the people that I did stream with at one point, he's not a bad guy, but he asked me this question. He was like, gaming and being inclusive. He's like, how is gaming not inclusive? And I'm like, I try to explain to him, gaming, just by sheer that a medium that it exists for, you can enter it with no barrier to entry for the most part. Like I said before, if you have a controller and let's say you go to a Melee tournament in your local area, let's say you do that. Mm-hmm. All you do to be a part of it is to sit down, plug in your controller, and click on a character, and you start playing. That's it.
Yeah.
There is no barrier to entry, so I don't understand it when these black girl gamers are here saying, we weren't accepted in these spaces. It is just as easy as going in, paying your local fee, and playing the game. Yeah. Who is telling you can't do that?
Yeah. I don't understand.
The thing is, but they never did it. They never did. The scenario doesn't exist because it never happened. They never actually liked games. They made it up. They're this retarded. They literally, you know that saying when you get old enough, you lie yourself enough, it just starts becoming true. They've lied to themselves so much. It's now an actual truth. This scenario never happened.
Bro, what's
the thing like, say you play dragons in your head or some shit?
They don't
like games, guys. They're lying to you.
Bro, we also prove how welcoming gamers are is the fact is that me growing up, especially with my dad and my brother, every time there was a new console that was coming out, and they used to do the overnight, you know, console release or whatever. So my dad would pre-order the Dreamcast, he pre-ordered like the PS2, or whatever like that. And every time we used to go to these overnight events where they're selling the console and stuff that you go up there to pick up your pre-order, you get in that line, 12 a.m., you get in the line, it's all kinds of gamers, no matter what color they are. And we're in line. These are complete strangers. We would just talk to each other. Talk about what kind of games that we play, what games that we pre-ordered for the new console and stuff like that. And before you know it, we're exchanging phone numbers or whatever like that. And then especially when the Xbox 360 came out and then we started having gamer tags and stuff. And then when we started going to these midnight releases, everybody's exchanging PlayStation Network, you know, IDs and gamer tags with each other. And we don't even know each other. We just come there that night just to pick up our game at the overnight release, and now we're walking out with a new friend. No matter what color you are, this is why I don't get where
I don't get
game is not accepted. Man,
it doesn't exist. It's that I know what tweet you're mentioning from like Black Girl Gamers. It's because they retweeted that post where that person made this like 8-paragraph thread that was talking about all these spaces that have been in fucking incorporated by white people, and it's like, gaming quite literally has no barrier to entry if you're Black, Mexican, Filipino, Puerto Rican. Doesn't matter. You literally just go into the buildings and start playing. And then if you're like not a weirdo with maybe a hentai fucking gaming controller, you probably may make some friends. That's it. The only reason why you wouldn't make friends being a gamer is if you're just some fucking weirdo. And that's
because
gamers are just straight up weirdos. They smell. But that's a different conversation, right?
Yeah,
the only reason why you wouldn't actually be accepted is because you're just fucking weird.
And yeah, that is weird, or you just a, any or scenario. Or you just a bitch.
Oh, true.
That,
yeah, yeah.
That,
yeah.
Or you just a bitch. That's the only. That's another way to look at it too. You know. But I never heard of this before. That's why it was just blowing my mind and stuff. I was like, gamers are the most accepting, you know, community I've ever came across, you know? And it just I was just scratching my head when I read that shit. I was like,
You're literally reading something that is made up out of someone's brain. And I love the ones where it's like, all these people are just racist and misogynistic and homophobic against these people. And it's like, hold on, wait. If someone just sat down next to me, I wouldn't know if they're gay. We just started playing some games. Legit don't know. Like, I play League pretty consistently. If someone was gay on my team or gay, I wouldn't know. And I also wouldn't give a fuck. All I care about is smashing your face in. That's all that really matters, you know? And let's be honest here, not just even with black girl gamers. Women, females who game, they don't understand this though. Men are just competitive. If you want to go play casually, cool. Go play casually outside of the tournament with your friends. That is fine. But if you went to a tournament and you are getting angry that someone else is getting mad that they're losing, that's just how competitive nature works. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm not going to forsake and tell you some lies because you can't accept it. Like, this is how competitive nature works. If you go up to LeBron James and you tell him, you know, just take this game casually, he's gonna be like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Don't take it on casually. This is our life. This is competitive nature on the line here. A lot of women don't understand that.
They don't. You know? And they want us to change the space to conform to them. Then guess what? Then you're not a fan of this hobby. You don't really want to be part of this community that we have to conform it to you. No. You wanted to be seen as an equal, just like we shit talk, just like guys shit talk each other. We're going to shit talk you too. We don't care what your gender is. We're going to trash talk. We're super competitive. So you better learn how to shit talk like everybody else and grow some tough skin. That's just how it is. And ever since that, they got into this space, man. Mm-hmm. And then, like I said, the journalists and the media just took over the narrative. Because, like I said, in my podcast, last week I was saying that the gaming community is saying one thing while the mainstream media is saying something completely different than what we're saying.
Dude, you can have reports now in video games where they're talking about hate speech. I'm like, bro, hate speech. Oh my god, you people are pussies. So if someone blatantly runs it down on me and caused me to lose a game, and I call you a fucking, I can't say it, but I might call you a twat waffle. Let's just say I do that.
Yeah.
I've been reported. Not the person who trolled me, ran my game down. No, not that person is fine. He's the saint. I call you a twat waffle. Nah, I gotta get punished.
Yeah, dog. Like, bro, I say y'all a bunch of pussies because guess what? Y'all should have been around the Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 lobbies on Xbox 360. Them lobbies was out of control. Mm-hmm. Out of control. The trash talk, the racial slurs, everything. Oh, yeah. But everybody partaked in it. Everybody would just throw slurs at each other. That was just the nature of it. But at the end of the day, everybody just went, after they finished playing, everybody went their separate ways, come back again, meet the same people, play the same game together, and just throw slurs, talk trash, whatever like that, and just went about our business. But now we got Microsoft is recording your voice, recording conversations and stuff. People trying to get you canceled. It's just ridiculous. I said, y'all wouldn't be able to survive.
They literally just want gamers to just play on straight mute. Just play on mute. Don't say a word. And if there's a loony troon on your team, you got to be accepting. And it's like, I swear to God, if I ever speak, I ain't calling you no girl. Nah, you ain't getting that from me. I'm not.
That never.
And that's the thing, though. Most of those people that would go to these events, these like loony troons, these gay people, I'll be honest here, they've not been that bad. It's literally just the ones that are online that are insufferable. Like, most of them are pretty cool.
I know quite honestly. A few. Yeah, I know quite a few of them that's not unbearable. They really cool, really chill. It's just that small vocal minority
who have you noticed that, dude? It's literally I'm pretty you're in Philly, so I know that troon stuff is out there.
Yeah.
For locals where like you have some of those guys, the gay people, but they're not like that. They're like not like that at all. It's literally just online. You have the most insufferable versions of those people, and it's just unbearable. But in real life,
they're pretty fine.
They probably actually agree with you if you brought up your points.
Well, 3 weeks ago, I was just on a podcast with a trans woman, and all we did was talk about video games and everything. And this person even knows about what I believe in and know my politics. Not offended by it either. Just chill. We just chill for like 2 hours on the podcast, just talking about gaming.
That's what confuses me, dude. Is like these people online think they're speaking for like everyone in their marginalized community, but in reality, they're doing the same shit the way they see black people. They think they see black people as like this kind of hood gangbanger or whatever. And they think because like if they put a black person in power, then every black person will like that black person because they're in power. When in reality, it's the same thing as like when they're talking for every trans person, when they're talking for, like, you don't talk for every gay person. You don't talk for every lesbian. They're gay lesbian people that don't agree with these people.
And the thing was, I was calling him bro and everything. Yeah, bro, this, that, you know what I mean? Like,
that person was called bro. You a nigga right there.
Yeah. that's still a dude. Like, I'm not going to sit here trying to, like, change my brain and everything to try to call him her. I just saw a dude. I'm like, yeah, bro, like, yo, man, this, that, and the other. And he didn't get defended. We were still laughing and joking and stuff like that. I'm like, this is what it's supposed to be. This is how it's supposed to be. Like all this stuff we see on Twitter and the internet is not real life, people. It's not real life. Because when you go out in the real world, it's totally different than what you see on the internet, man. The internet, like the sensationalized shit, you know, and take things this small and then turn it real big and everything. And that's why I say there's a disconnect between what the gaming community is saying and what the journalists and the mainstream media is saying about gamers. There's a disconnect, man. And that's why us as gamers, man, we have to fight this shit back. And I keep telling everybody with this culture war thing, man, like we don't play by the same set of rules that these journalists and these people do on the other side. They can lie, make up shit and everything. And they always had the journalists and the mainstream media on their side. And like I said, even the FBI is looking at us as extremists and stuff. They even got the FBI on their side. So they can break whatever rules and do whatever they want. But us, we have to tread lightly. We got to have receipts. You know what I'm saying? We can't play by their rules, because the moment we play by their rules, they're going to point the finger. See, we told you that everything that we say they were. So we can't play by that rule set. We have to be careful, calculated, and always call this shit out. And you know what I'm saying? And don't be reactionary, because that's another thing about the culture war and stuff like that. Because we also, with this movement as well, we do also have some like bad faith actors within this group as well, that's using this to further their own agenda as well. And we also got to call those people out, and we don't want these people putting out misinformation, because then that destroys our entire message, because these people got their own agenda, you know? So yeah, man, it's crazy.
Yeah, dude, I think the other biggest problem is that these people are so narcissistic and so self-absorbed, they think they're speaking for everybody.
Yeah.
They legitimately think they're one person in that group, whatever that they have, and they just talk for everyone. It's like,
that's
you know, how insanely narcissistic you have to be to think that?
Yeah.
Bruh.
You have to be.
We use is buzzwords. Just a few hours ago, we had that one black lady from, like, I think The Verge. She was like, all the people coming at me are super in bad faith, and all they're doing is being extremely racist, misogynistic, and homophobic. All the buzzwords, right?
All the buzzwords. And then
she was like, oh, I would love to have conversations with these people. Meanwhile, you immediately insult every single one of them like that. Yeah. Fucking hell. You can't make this up.
Yeah, or they would say these buzzwords but provide no receipts. You both just take their word for it that these things were said to them. You just take their word for it. They provide no receipts.
Just like Dr. Manhattan meme. Stores, it was all in my head.
no receipts.
Oh my God, man. Like, I would totally not mind having someone on I disagree with and we have a conversation. That's fine. But what I wouldn't do is sit there and like act to somebody and telling them, yeah, just hearing all this and I just, no. I just flat out disagree. I don't think what you're saying is any merit to it. And I would actually ask, where are you getting this from? What life have you had to make you think these things? What situations have you had to make you think this? I would need to know. Then I need to go and make sure that person is thrown off the roof. Because they made you fucking crazy.
Yeah, man. It just baffled me. It just baffled me, man. Like, I was like, man, gaming. I've been growing up in the gaming community my whole life. And all my friends, all my fond experience came from gamers and being around gamers. Like, dude, we can talk for hours. I can meet a complete stranger. And when I went to go pick up Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, was it like 2 weeks ago when the game came out or whatever, or 3 weeks ago now? And I was there to pick it up, and there was another guy at the counter at GameStop picking it up. He said, "Oh, you got Final Fantasy VII Rebirth too?" Before you know it, we was talking, and I didn't even leave the store. I was in GameStop just sitting there with him, just talking about Final Fantasy VII, like for a whole hour. That's what gaming does. It just connects you. We all got similar interests, and skin color, sexual orientation, all that is set aside because we all have this thing in common, and that's video games. That simple.
Yeah, I just can't understand why people keep throwing out all these freaking terms. You have all these people that are like, "You gotta accept me." It's like, I don't gotta do shit. Accept you. What the fuck? I don't even know you. Accept you for what? Choking on dick? Suck dick. You have to accept me. It's like, no. What if I don't accept you? What if I don't give a fuck about you? I don't even care if you get by a bus, if I'm being honest here. But that's personally. I'm crazy.
Yeah, so. I think the thing is, those type of people, they got something else that's deep-seated with them. They have other issues, you know? And this thing of wanting to be validated, wanting to be accepted by other people. Like me, like growing up, having my mom and dad, they put enough, you know, confidence and self-esteem in me. Mm-hmm. So I never walked around looking for people to say, "Hey, you know, I want to be included. I want to be accepted." Like, if you don't want to fuck with me, that's fine. I don't need you. I don't at all. I'm perfectly fine by myself. And I don't need to be included in anything. Cause guess what? You don't have to include me. I can build my own shit. Like I'm doing right now with my comic book and shit, in my comic book universe and stuff in my company. So I have no problem or whatever. And plus I'm an introvert. Like most of the time I don't like being around a bunch of people most of the time and stuff. I get really grumpy and everything at times. And it takes time for me to break out of my shell but once people start hanging around people, I open up more. But I've never had this thing where I need to be like accepted by people. But these people, they want to be seen. They want to be accepted and everything. Because it reminded me this one time in Philly is this ramen bar where me and my brothers go, we eat ramen and stuff. It's called Heroes Ramen. And it was just so funny is because we went there. I forgot what movie we went to go see, but the three of us left from the movies. Then we went there to get some ramen. It was around like six or 7 p.m. down Center City. We in the ramen bar, and it's pretty crowded that night. So we eat and everything. Next thing you know, the door swings open, and it slaps against the wall, and then everybody turns around. So we turn around wondering, like, who opened the door like that? So this couple come in. It was this white guy with this... with this trans woman that walked in. There was a couple. And we looked at them because we wondering, like, who opened the door like that? Like it slammed the wall. It slammed the wall and stuff. So we looking like, oh, where the fuck did that come from? So we looked at them, and then we just turned back around. Everybody went back to go eating and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So they go sit down. And this trans woman was, the fact is that since nobody was paying attention to this individual, and no one made a big deal about them, they started causing a scene. And we looking like, yo, what the fuck are you doing? And he's trying to calm him down, like hit the boyfriend, like, yo, like chill, like what are you causing a scene for and stuff? But the fact is that this person was making a scene because this person wants to be seen that they are trans. Yeah. And since we treated them like they were normal. We saw them and then we went back to what we were doing. We was minding our business. But this person, the fact is that we didn't look at them or give them any attention. Or whatever like that they're trans and stuff, they start making a scene in the restaurant. And they told them, and then the person who owned the restaurant told them they had to leave. It was like these people want to be validated, these kind of people, just in society in general, no matter with who they are, what they are, they want to be seen, they want to be validated. And when you treat them equally, they throw a fit. They throw a fucking fit. Like, no, you want to be equal, now you're normal like everybody else. But they also want that special preference. They want that special treatment too for being what they are. No.
Yeah, fuck that. That's the issue. Is like, I guess you could say someone can live their life how they want to, but if you want to live your life the way you want to, can you not be an insufferable fucking prick?
Yeah, you're just an asshole. We're not criticizing you because of what you are. No, you're just a fucking asshole. You are a asshole.
Yeah,
it reminds me
of like, oh yeah, you're racist and trans. Like, what if I just don't like you? Yeah, nothing to do with that. Yeah. You're just a piece of shit.
Yeah, there was a perfect sketch with Key and Peele, and they were acting. They were acting like homosexuals or whatever like that. They was in the office, and Key, he was like a flamboyant
gay guy. Like he was he, like the most flamboyant, the colors. He had a penis lollipop at his desk and everything. So he turns around and he starts talking to Peele or what like that. And he was just being annoying or whatever. And Peele say, yo, dude, like that's inappropriate. Cause he was saying all this gay shit or what like that to Peele. And Peele's character was saying, like, dude, like I don't want to hear that. Then he kept talking about his boyfriend and how big his boyfriend's dick was and stuff. And then Peele was like, chill, bro. And he said, so he was like, his character was like, what? Like, are you homophobic and do you hate gay people and stuff like that? He said, no, like, bro, like this is inappropriate. You shouldn't be saying shit like that, especially in the workspace, this, that, and the other. Yeah. So he kept going on. So then this white guy comes in or whatever, and Peele was like, oh yeah, he said to the white guy, his name is Brandon or something like that. So yeah, Brandon, this is my my coworker. His name is this, that, and the third, talking about Key or whatever like that. And then Peele's character kissed the white guy. And that's when Key's character found out that, oh, he's gay or whatever like that. So so when they walked off or whatever, so Key was like, wait a minute, he wasn't hating me because I was gay. He said, he was hating me because I was being an asshole. He realized that he was being an asshole and shit like that. That was the whole sketch. Like, no, we don't hate you or whatever because whatever your orientation is. If you're a fucking asshole, you're an asshole. And that's why I don't like I don't like assholes in general.
Yeah.
You know?
Man, just getting all these, I think what's worse is like all these gaming companies are sitting here just bowing down to these people because they need, because people are going to understand, I agree with them to some extent. Video games cost a lot of money to make. Okay, so we're going by that logic, which I don't disagree. They cost a lot of money to make. Then by that sheer logic alone, you'd want to make the best game because you know it's a lot of money. And you know that everyone's job is on the line to make this game the best thing possible. And you want to kind of fuck it up putting in all this agenda-based bullshit about stuff that doesn't make any sense. Like, you know, I haven't played Spider-Man 2 yet. The new PS5 Spider-Man 2, not the original Game Boy PS2 Spider-Man 2. There's a post that people keep making about it, about that whole like part where you play as a deaf character, and people keep saying, oh, you hate women. No. Guys, people are playing Spider-Man to play Spider-Man. I play a deaf bitch.
Yeah.
Why is that there? How does that serve a game based around Spider-Man?
Bro, I didn't bother to play either one or two of Spider-Man. Let me put it this way. Action games are not really my genre of games. I like Spider-Man stuff, but I seen the writing on the wall with the first Spider-Man when they showed off. It may sound stupid, but when I saw the design to Silver Sable, when I saw Silver Sable, I knew what Silver Sable looked like in the comic books.
Yeah.
And they toned her down. And she looked like a Karen. They made her look like a Karen. I said, why the fuck did they make Silver Sable look like that? And then when I watched my brother's game, watched them play it, every scene that Spider-Man encountered Silver Sable, she was always kicking Spider-Man's ass. Always beating his ass. Spider-Man just got finished fighting the Sinister Six. Going through all this hell, but every time he encountered this chick right here, she would just toss him around like he's nothing. And I was like, yo, dog. This is Spider-Man we talking about. Why is she just beating his ass? And then she was like, it's a whole video breakdown how incompetent she was. But they just made her keep just demeaning Spider-Man. They kept like, this is his own game. So when I seen that there, I was like, yo, they want to up this in part two. I kept telling my brothers, like, yo, I'm not buying this game. After seeing this, I said it's going to be even worse. And then that's when the Miles Morales DLC came out. Mm-hmm. And when you had to fight the villain in that game, you kind of find out the Tinkerer. That's what I think the character name. They decided to gender swap and make the Tinkerer a female. Yeah. And she was beating Miles' ass. Like Miles can't do shit. Like, she was beating his ass. And I'm like, yo, like, this is his game. Why? Like every time I turn around, like, these low-end characters, and then they gender swap and make them female characters, be beating up the main hero, beating up Miles Morales in his fucking game. And then they make Miles a bitch. Dominated.
My thing with the first game, I had seen all the, I know the story, I've seen the movie scenes and everything. I was like, they got something really, I was like, they have something really good here with the story. And then I saw the Leeching Spider. I haven't watched the story, the movie cutting out. I was like, bro, they did not do what I think I just did. Bro, how can you start that strong? And then the only way you could fuck it up is if you fuck up yourself. No, no, yeah. Just nobody. Everyone's yeah. like, okay, I can get down with this. This is a really good imitation of Spider-Man. Oh, yeah. We just kind of just fuck ourselves over.
And the Mary Jane's annoying.
I knew the writing on the wall was when they announced that Eddie Brock wasn't going to be Venom. Now, to be fair, this is before I knew that yeah. the symbiote was probably going to be yeah. attached to Harry. But that's already a pretty big red flag. Yeah. Is when Eddie Brock's not going to be Venom.
He's my
that's
already a big flag. I don't know why I have this obsession to keep making Harry Venom. I do not know this obsession with keep having, like, every story, every retelling, they always keep having this motherfucker as Venom. And like, where's my boy Eddie Brock at? Like, where's Eddie Brock? You know?
Yeah.
But yeah, bro, like, when I seen what they did to how they kept just like demeaning Peter Parker in the first one, and then they just made Miles Morales a bitch in the DLC of the Miles Morales game.
Dude, you know comics, man. You would know that Miles Morales comics don't sell. I have no idea why they keep printing them. They don't sell. No one knows what the fuck he goes through in his stories. His omnibuses don't sell. Even when they give you all the stories collected, they don't sell. Trade paperbacks don't sell. He is the most... He's a character that only has thrived off of movie appearances and video games. He's not popular nor talked about in comic in the comic space, people.
And but bro, this is the thing. Like, every time you're saying that Peter Parker is the real Spider-Man, then you're called racist or you called a coon for saying that.
It's like, have you noticed that doesn't apply to people like John Stewart? If you say you like Hal Jordan more than John Stewart, you're not called racist. It's only for him.
It's only for him. The thing that pisses me off is I'm like, yo, look at Miles Morales. Like, he's a hand-me-down Spider-Man because most of his villain gallery is Peter Parker's villain's gallery. And then he got the then Spider-Gwen is the alternate universe of Peter Parker's, like, old flame. So he's dating her. I'm like, everything is from Peter. Everything is handed down from Peter to him. He has no real identity. That's why Peter Parker will always be, you know, be Spider-Man. Like, because you can't have these characters be these characters for years. Like, look, Marvel, what, is almost 100 years old now? DC's almost 100 years old? These characters been around for so fucking long as these particular characters. And then you're going to come in and say, hey, we got this character. This character's going to be the new version of this character. Deal with it or accept it. People's gonna throw a fit. Like people's gonna throw a fit. And that's why I don't understand. Like people say, well, you know, when Bucky or Winter Soldier was of Captain America, no one bitched. Less people did. I don't even like Bucky or Winter Soldier as Captain America. Steve Rogers always will be Captain America to me. No one can replace Steve Rogers. He will always be. They also made Dick Grayson Batman for a little bit.
When he was vaporized by Darkseid, they made him Batman for a while.
In my eyes, Dick Grayson would never be Batman. And he's perfectly fine as Nightwing. He's his own character. So making him Batman is just nonsensical to me. Even though there's a story behind the mantle of the Bat, but Bruce Wayne will always be Batman to me. I don't care who will put that fucking cowl on or like that. If it's not Bruce Wayne, then you're not Batman to me. Just that simple. That's just how it works. You know,
this is how you can tell you're talking to a fake comic book fan. They'll always say, well, Winter Soldier was Captain America comic books. Meanwhile, that person doesn't even add in, was that a liked run? Was that a liked thing?
Yeah.
We can't even tell you who wrote that story. If you can't tell me if it was a liked story, who wrote it? Oh, okay, because that's the thing, though. If it was so liked and good, why'd they switch him back?
Crazy
me to think about that, right? It was so well liked they switched it back. What?
Then they made Falcon Captain America, and they took a black man who was already an original character, and then give him the white man's character, which is Captain America. That's just on its own disrespectful. And then the moment you say, yo, I don't like Falcon Captain America, then you're racist. And if you're black and you don't like it, then you're a sellout, you're a coon. I'm like, yo, this is crazy. Like, so you must rather him ditch his original character, he's original black character, Falcon, and y'all rather him ditch that and have him be Captain America and then just shill for it. You just want to shill. Just shill for this version of Captain America. No, Falcon would never be Captain America. Steve Rogers will always be Captain America. Like, why don't you take Falcon and make him, then just, like, upgrade him. Make him even better. Make him an even better character. But they don't want to do that. They don't want to do that at all.
Well, a few more things to ask you, man, before you got to head out. No, it's getting a little late over there, which is, you got any big plans for your YouTube channel coming up?
Oh, yeah. Well, tomorrow I got some Resident Evil stuff that I'll be covering. Some leaks that was going on about a potential Resident Evil 9 and everything like that, being open world or something like that. So I got that coming up. And tomorrow's also my Mugen TV podcast episode 2. So we'll be going over a couple of topics, which I'll be posting the topic list on my community tab tomorrow on YouTube. So people will know what we'll be what I'll be covering on the podcast. And then on Friday I will have a Ask Me Anything stream, so people can just pop in, ask me anything. We just chill and just vibe it out on stream and everything. But other than that, I'm just been working on my comic right now, trying to get this comic prepped and ready. You know
how big it is, the indie comic scene space.
It's
a crazy thing, let's just say that.
Yeah, man. I've been following it. In fact, bro, ever since I started my comic book company, I've been investing in comics and stuff. I got the Common America Indie Comic Special Edition and stuff.
Oh, you got that one? I got the Omnibus bundle, so I could just have them all.
Yeah, and also, and another one I got is got the girl with the mega fist.
Girl with the mega titties.
I got this.
I got one too.
I've been trying to collect some indie comics and actually, you know, embrace the indie comic space. This is a whole new community to me. This is a whole new world, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting to talk to different, you know, comic writers and comic artists and stuff like that. Now that I'm a comic writer myself and everything, I want to pay my dues by coming in. Just, you know, let me support others, you know. So yeah, man. Mm-hmm.
Tyler, he did the Cthulhu murders.
Because I follow him. As a matter of fact, me and him talked because I was just asking him how to go about, you know, doing campaigns. So he gave me a lot of advice because this is something I've never done before and everything. So his advice really, really helped. He gave me some links to, you know, what sites to go to get them to print out my book and everything like that. So that really, really helped. And I also got a studio, a photography studio too, that my father and all of us own. So I'll be having merchandise. My brothers and I have a t-shirt company. Yeah. We make a t-shirt. They made this hoodie. This is my hoodie and everything.
Hell
and
yeah.
Stuff like that. But so I'm going to have a whole thing. I can't wait for this campaign. I'm super excited. I'm anxious at the same time, nervous because I don't know how people's going to respond to it and stuff, but this is something I really want to do, and I want to take this because this is the first phase. Because once I get the comics and get the stories and everything, people get familiar with my IP, then I want to branch and I want to start an indie game studio. I want to create video games. This is something I always wanted to do. So and eventually I want to get into animation. I want to have an anime. I want my stuff to be fucking anime and stuff like that. So and the good thing about it, since I'm part of the 3D hentai community and stuff like that, I hire voice actors and actresses. So I got a whole arsenal and a roster of people that does voice work and phenomenal voice work. So when I'm ready to start doing this, especially when I want to do motion comics or do advertisement for my characters, I already got people lined up already to
voice my characters. You know, it's pretty big things, man. Hell yeah, dude.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Hell yeah.
Makes me want to, you know, got to get back to the drawing board and, you know, got to start growing on these platforms like I used to. I'm just old and black now.
It's all about consistency, man. You just got to be consistent and just don't give up. Don't stop. Don't put all your eggs in one basket and try to collab with as many people as possible. But like right now, when my podcast, because my goal is to try to build my podcast audience. Because what the thing is, once I have my podcast audience get big enough, I'm gonna invite you on. I'm gonna invite other people on too. Since y'all guys been, you know, hitting me up and I've been on y'all's, so I wanna return the favor, but I wanna make sure my audience there so y'all can benefit from it. So yeah. When y'all come on board, I'm like, yo, hey guys, I got a special guest.
If you bring it on some hot white ladies, you know, I'm just gonna ask them, hey, yo, what it do, you know?
Yeah, man. I wanna look out for everybody, you know.
And last thing I'll ask you, man, is got any shout outs you wanna give to anyone in particular? Anything else you wanna say before we head out?
Oh yeah, I guess a shout out to Cassie. My homegirl, she has her own podcast as well. And my boy Leon, he also has his own podcast. They were the first two that approached me to feature on theirs, and they've been showing me nothing but love. And I was recently on Hypnotic's podcast as well. So shout out to him for, you know, allowing me to get on his platform. And I will definitely return the favor once I get my podcast where it needs to be and start working the stuff out, and then start having a lot of you guys on mine, so my audience get a chance to know who you guys are as well. So definitely appreciate it.
Anytime, man. Thank you guys for checking out this episode of the Iron Man Podcast. And as I always say when we close these episodes out, thank you so much for taking your time to listen to the show. You can find the show on whatever podcasting platform you choose to consume your podcast. And, you know, I'll say, you got any hot moms out there who's single, who's trying to throw it back for a dude? Hey, yo, I'm trying to suck on that butt. No, I'm just kidding, guys. Just kidding. Good Lord. If you were listening to that when you were driving your kids to school, I'm sorry. But thank you guys for checking out the show, and we'll see you guys later. Goodbye, everyone.